from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
West Virginia University, online at wvu.edu. The High Technology Foundation, headquartered at the I-79 Technology Park in Fairmont, online at wvhtf.org.
At the legislature today, after a high school principal resigned and faces misdemeanor charges for failing to report a sexual assault at his high school, lawmakers revisit a law pertaining to the issue. One senator lashes out at a House bill that prohibits local anti-discrimination ordinances, and we'll talk with the Secretary of State about election bills at this session on the legislature today. Good evening, I'm Ashton Mara. Members of a House committee are revisiting the state's mandatory reporting law after an incident at Capitol High School in Charleston. The school's principal, Clinton Giles, resigned from his post after reports that he failed to notify law enforcement of a sexual assault on the school's campus. Giles was reportedly notified of the January 26 incident by a counselor. He now faces misdemeanor charges in Kanawha County Circuit Court. The incident now has lawmakers looking to update a 40-year-old law dealing with sexual assaults. But first, Liz McCormick reports the committee considered a bill that aims to rein in the receptions lawmakers are invited to while in Charleston for legislative meetings.
House Bill 2022 prohibits certain political fundraising activities for members of the legislature during certain periods of time, before, during, and after the legislature is in session. It also provides that existing misdemeanor penalties would apply if the law were broken. Delegate Patrick Lane of Kanawha County is the sponsor of the bill. He says this bill addresses a long-standing tradition during annual legislative sessions, that tradition of nightly receptions serving free food and drinks to lawmakers.
But there is a perception, unfortunately, that when members come down or come here to the Capitol for the legislative session, that historically we've had lots of receptions in the evenings that are put on by lobbyists and industry groups. We've had, at times, numerous fundraisers that have been held by candidates or candidate committees, and those are routinely attended, as you know, by all of the lobbyists who work here in the Capitol. And so the perception, I think, among the public is that we come to Charleston and we spend time working on bills, but we also spend a lot of time in the evening on the shrimp cocktail circuit, dealing with getting free dinners from lobbyists and holding fundraisers with lobbyists. And while I certainly don't think that anybody here has engaged in that sort of thing or provided any sort of had any sway over any votes or anything like that, I think the perception is a negative perception, that if we have a fundraising reception for a campaign on Tuesday and then there's a bill that affects that some particular industry on Thursday that we vote on, it's unseemly. And I think in an effort to make sure that there's trust between the public and the elected officials, I think it's a pretty simple fix to that, to just say that we as members of the legislature are going to hold ourselves to a higher standard, and we're going to say we are not going to fundraise or accept money from campaign contributions while we are here making decisions on legislation.
No action was taken on House Bill 2022 during this morning's meeting. The second bill on the agenda was House Bill 2939, relating to requirements for mandatory reporting of sexual offenses on school premises involving students. Marty Wright, counsel to House Judiciary, explained the bill and the reason the law needed some updating.
To better explain this, I'm going to try to start with a little bit of background, explain what current law is, and then I'll go into explaining a little bit what the original bill is and then the reason behind the committee substitute. Since at least 1977, there's been a reporting requirement for teachers or in general reporting of abuse neglect matters for children. If they've been abused or neglected, and that's defined in Chapter 49. The requirements do extend to teachers and school personnel. In particular, the law states that a person over the age of 18 who receives a disclosure from a credible witness or who observes any sexual abuse or sexual assault of a child shall immediately, and not more than 48 hours, report that to the police and or to DHHR Child Protective Services. That's been existing law for quite some time. The difficulty is when you get into the definitions of sexual abuse or sexual assault. Under existing law, sexual abuse is limited to abuse by parent, guardian, or custodian. So if you connect the dots here, the only reporting requirement that exists for a student that may or may not have been sexually abused on school is if that occurs by the parent, guardian, or custodian. Hence, there's a little bit of a loophole in the law with respect to reporting requirements. So, taking current scenario under existing law, if you have a situation where an individual who is a report comes to a teacher that their friend has been sexually assaulted on campus, and it was done, say, by another student. Under existing law, there's no requirement for that teacher to report that incident.
The bill brought some major discussion among the delegates, from what counted as inappropriate touching between two high school-age children to how much a teacher would be held accountable in regard to various situations, or to how far the definition of what counted as school premises reached. By the end of the meeting, three amendments were proposed that addressed these situations, and the bill was passed unanimously in committee. House Bill 2939 now goes to the floor for its consideration. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in the House.
A much lighter floor session for senators today after doing some heavy lifting yesterday when they approved more than 30 pieces of legislation. During their morning floor session, senators put only one bill to a vote, a bill that was vetoed by Governor Tomlin.
Dear President Cole, pursuant to the provisions of Section 14, Article 7 of the Constitution of West Virginia, I hereby disapprove and return the enrolled committee substitute for Senate Bill 335.
Senate Bill 335 is the opioid antagonist bill. It allows emergency responders, doctors, nurses, friends, and family members to administer a drug that would reverse an overdose, saving a person's life. The bill passed both the House and Senate with bipartisan support, but was vetoed by Governor Tomlin after finding some major technical deficiencies. Senators voted to reconsider the bill, and Health Committee Chair Ryan Ferns moved the technical amendments detailed in the governor's veto message. The bill was again approved unanimously by the Senate, 34-0. With few bills to consider on the calendar, some members stood to address the chamber. Senator Herb Snyder of Jefferson County says there's been talk amongst members about calling on the Greyhound Purse Fund as a way to help balance this year's budget. Snyder says he's not against the move, but he does believe it's a symptom of a bigger issue with the state's revenues.
I want to talk about the much larger subject. That is the much, much larger amount of money. How does the state of West Virginia get more revenue? And I have a solution to that.
Snyder's solution: to fix the state's lottery model.
The lottery model in the state of West Virginia, particularly the Racino lottery, the machines and so forth, the model is broken. And we haven't really talked about fixing it.
Snyder says when the state began to allow racetrack casinos, the model was copied by states across the country who saw West Virginia's success. But with the added competition, particularly from Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Maryland, Snyder says what the state is doing is no longer viable. If we want to create more revenue, Snyder says, the state must move away from the casino racetrack system and allow for standalone casinos.
That's how we fix the lottery model. Because in my view, we have three assets in West Virginia, three big ones. I'm not talking about the children that were here. I'm talking about financial assets. Coal, natural gas, and a gold mine. What's that gold mine? That gold mine is the Virginia border with West Virginia. And it's long because Virginia does not have gambling, and in the foreseeable future will not have, nor does North Carolina. Those people will come to our West Virginia border.
Snyder says he'd like to see West Virginia lawmakers take the time to study the issue during interims and see how the standalone casino model in the state could work. He predicts one in Bluefield or another part of southern West Virginia could boost the state's economy. Finance Committee Chair Mike Hall says it's not a simple change, but one that's certainly possible. Before their floor session, members of the Appalachian Children's Chorus performed for the Senate. Senate Minority Leader Jeff Kessler says the faces of those few children reminded him of the faces of children across the state the chamber is called to protect.
Mr. President, we have a duty and obligation on the floor of this Senate as the most deliberative body in this state to not only cheer them, but to cherish them, to love them, to protect them and to respect them. Every single one. There's a bill moving over in the House, Mr. President, House Bill 2881, that tells them if they're different, if they are gay, we will not protect them. We will not respect them. They cannot live here, they cannot work here. They cannot participate here, and they can't be welcome here. So as we move through these last precious few days, I saw some precious children. Their faces will remain etched in my mind till the day I die. They were happy. They were beautiful. They were talented, and they were innocent. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a few of them that might be different. And I challenge you as we move forward these last 17 days. I challenge you. Because if you won't protect them, if you won't stand for them, then who will?
The House bill Kessler refers to is one that would prohibit municipalities from passing ordinances that ban discrimination in housing or employment based on age or sexual orientation. The bill is on second reading in the House tomorrow. Senate Bill 14, the bill to establish charter schools in the state, was on third reading today. However, Senate leadership put off final consideration of the bill until tomorrow. Here's a look at what else will be on the agenda in the Senate tomorrow.
Among the bills up for passage, Senate Bill 347 to remove the requirement of a license to carry a concealed weapon. Senate Bill 377, that manufacturers or sellers of a prescription drug or device may not be held liable in a product liability action for a claim based upon inadequate warning or instruction. Senate Bill 393, the governor's bill to reform the juvenile justice system in West Virginia. Senate Bill 409, prohibiting labor agreements from being part of the competitive bid process on government construction projects. Senate Bill 411 to address the amount of litigation relating to asbestos claims. The bill establishes procedures for the handling of asbestos and silica litigation and to enhance the ability of the judicial system to manage such litigation. Senate Bill 537 to change the mandatory school instructional days from 180 days to the equivalent minutes in order to provide flexibility to counties in meeting school board instructional day rules. House Bill 2457, prohibiting the use of the name or likeness of elected or appointed officials on publicly owned vehicles. And House Bill 2523, to create a special fund to offset costs for the West Virginia State Police 100th anniversary in 2019. Among the bills on second reading in the Senate tomorrow, Senate Bill 94, to establish a driver's license restoration program when the license has been lost for unpaid tickets or non-safety-related reasons. Senate Bill 278, to prohibit hunting with night vision technology, a drone, or other unmanned aerial vehicle. The bill permits hunting with crossbows. And Senate Bill 423, to amend the Above Ground Storage Tank Act to address and correct certain unintended consequences of the original enactment. The program is now focused on tanks with a capacity of 10,000 gallons or above within zones of critical concern of public water utilities.
Traditionally in the State House, members of the legislature use off years to discuss election legislation, and this year has been no exception. From overhauling the state's campaign contribution limits to requiring the nonpartisan election of judges, the House and Senate are both considering a number of bills that will affect the state's voters during the next election cycle in 2016. Here this evening to discuss those bills and more is the state's chief election officer, Secretary of State Natalie Tennant. Secretary Tennant has held the post since 2008. Secretary, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Before we get to some of those election bills, I want to talk about a bill that's passed the Senate that came from your office. Mm-hmm. And that's a bill that has to do with veteran business owners. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, and this is just another example of how we in the Secretary of State's office are putting forward programs and services to help our veterans. Veterans obviously are near and dear to my heart. I'm a military family member, as many West Virginians are. And what this does, this quite simply hits two goals: creating jobs in West Virginia's and helping out veterans at the same time. We simply say, if you've served your country, you've served your state, we're here to serve you. And what I have proposed is, not only am I the chief election official, we register businesses. And I have proposed that if you are a veteran and you're coming back from active duty, or you're retired and coming back and wanting to start your own business, that we waive the startup fees for our veterans who want to start a business.
So this bill, by the time it's fully implemented, actually cuts $180,000 from your budget. Can the office handle a cut like that?
Yes. I'm putting my money where my mouth is here in helping veterans, because what it does, it will waive the startup fee, which is about $125, and then for the next 4 years, waive the fee for the annual report. And that's about $200. And for a small business owner, that's a huge difference. I know, I'm a small business owner myself, and so yes, that makes a difference. And so when you add up all those numbers, you come up with a figure like that. And, you know, I run a tight budget in the Secretary of State's office, and I've said, look, if we can absorb this, it's going to come back into the state, because we're going to have new businesses that have started, and we're going to see, you know, other revenues coming at the same time. So we're going to create jobs, and we're still going to help veterans in West Virginia.
So let's move on to some of those election bills. A Senate subcommittee is working on Senate Bill 541 tonight.
Yes.
So it's subject to change. But right now the bill makes a lot of changes: campaign contributions, some reporting mm-hmm. requirements. One thing I'd like to ask you about are those reporting requirements. It would require the Secretary of State's office to have an electronic database of any candidate whose campaign makes $10,000 or more, a searchable database.
Mm-hmm.
Are those not available already?
Yes, it is, and I'm proud. We call it our campaign finance reporting system within the Secretary of State's office, and that is exactly what we do now. And so, you know, to codify this, to put this in state code and make it a requirement, you know, I certainly say yes to that, because that's something that we're doing already. And you won't find another elected official who's more transparent, more open than I am. And so transparency and accountability is so important to me. And so when it comes in the form of contributions or expenditure by candidates, that is so important to me. And that's certainly what I push. And that's why I am keeping a close eye on this bill. It's Senate Bill 541. And I do have concerns with it. At the same time, when you talk about, you know, this ability to have electronic filing, well, we have that already. What else concerns me is that, you know, folks will agree. They'll agree across West Virginia, across this country, that there is just too much money in politics. And on this first blush, when you take a look at this piece of legislation, it is allowing even more money into campaigns and into politics. And the concern that I have is that the average regular West Virginian is going to be on the short end, is going to be on the losing end of this, because the proposal that is made in this piece of legislation allows for corporations to give money individually to a candidate. We don't have that right now in West Virginia. We don't have where a corporation can just funnel money into an individual candidate. And not only does this legislation allow a corporation to do that, it is allowing it at unlimited funds, hand over fist. They can put money into individual candidates. And so I have a concern with that, because the average West Virginian can't do that. Isn't able to do that.
Should the Secretary of State be involved in these types of policy discussions when it comes to limiting the amount of contributions corporations, individuals, unions can give to candidates?
Most certainly the Secretary of State should be involved as the chief election official, as one who is recording and showing and presenting the expenditures, the contributions that the candidates have and how money is being used in campaigns, most certainly. And that's why we are an integral part of that. We have met with lawmakers, we have met with various groups to say, take a look at this. Make sure that elections here in West Virginia stay in the hands of West Virginians, of average West Virginians, of regular working folks in West Virginia, and not out-of-state corporations that can just give money hand over fist. You know, I like to tell the story of a woman in Jackson County. Lucille is her name. And it's interesting. Every election that I run, I can count on a $25 check from her. I can't count on any more from her because she can't give any more. She's a retired teacher. Now, she has to compete with an out-of-state millionaire or an out-of-state corporation that would, under this legislation, be able to give endless amounts of money. So now it's out of her hands and in the hands of out-of-state corporations.
So, Secretary, another part of that bill that affects your office is this expedited reporting requirement. Mm-hmm. Anyone who makes a $1,000 contribution in the last 15 days of an election cycle, that $1,000 has to be reported within 48 hours. Is that a good provision?
It is a good provision. Any time that you would have reporting and accountability. But let's look at it. It sounds good, doesn't it? But think about West Virginians at home. They might be watching the legislature today right now. They might be cooking dinner. They might be prepared to go to their child's basketball game. Are they really going home and logging on and saying, oh, I want to see who's giving $1,000 more to these candidates? It doesn't seem as realistic to me because it's the media that might look and it's also, you know, fellow candidates. And I just want us to take a realistic approach to this, that you can say, oh, well, we're going to put this electronically and we're going to make people report this. But yet here we have out-of-state corporations that can put unlimited amounts of money into a campaign when the average West Virginian can't.
Have you expressed that to lawmakers?
Yes. And that's what we'll be doing as we go through this process of this piece of legislation and of the subcommittee as well.
Well, Secretary Tenet, thank you very much for joining us
this
evening. Great as always to have you.
Thank you.
Now here's a look at what's coming up in the House tomorrow.
Among the bills up for passage, Senate Bill 357, the Coal Jobs and Safety Act, House Bill 2161, to adopt the Uniform Act on Prevention of and Remedies for Human Trafficking, and House Bill 2780, to authorize college and university governing boards to apply for funds available to law enforcement agencies for the benefit of campus police officers. Among the bills on second reading in the House tomorrow, Senate Bill 361, the Prevailing Wage Bill, House Bill 2478, the Governor's Bill to revise certain aspects of public school finance and the school aid formula, House Bill 2793, relating to regulation of homeschooling, House Bill 2881, that no county, municipality, or other political subdivision may adopt or enforce a local law, ordinance, resolution, rule, or policy that creates a protected classification or prohibits discrimination on a basis not contained in state law. House Bill 2934, repealing the Common Core Standards. House Bill 2976, to expand the eligible master's and doctoral level programs for which a nursing scholarship may be awarded. And House Bill 3016, creates a methamphetamine offender registry. A person listed on the registry would be prohibited from obtaining pseudoephedrine products without a prescription. There's a public hearing Friday morning at 8 o'clock in the House chamber on House Bill 2881 regarding the passage of local ordinances that create a protected classification or prohibits discrimination on a basis not contained in state law.
This has been the Legislature Today. This program note, tomorrow morning at 8, West Virginia Public Broadcasting will provide live coverage of the public hearing on House Bill 2881. This is the bill that would prohibit counties and cities from adopting anti-discrimination ordinances. The telecast will be on West Virginia PBS 2, our direct cable channel. That's live tomorrow morning at 8. I'm Ashton Mara. Thanks for joining us. Good night.
Support for the Legislature Today is provided by the following.
West Virginia University, online at wvu.edu. The High Technology Foundation, headquartered at the I-79 Technology Park in Fairmont, online at wvhtf.org.